Hello, wonderful Third Culture kids. Thank you for checking in again. Thank you for spending this time with me. I hope you're having a good day. I've been sitting here in my chair in my office, listening to the wind outside and the grey cloud. And asking myself what I want to talk to you about today. And I've sat here staring into space for longer than feels rational. Because I can't get my narrative straight. And given that narrative is everything about what I do, I thought, fine, I'll share that. The challenge I've had this week, well, many, but the one I'm going to talk about, is around this narrative. I've been working with the idea of rest. I'm noticing how incredibly uncomfortable I am, even just saying that. And I want to raise it because it feels to me so tightly bound up with the idea of being good enough, doing enough, and the enough thing feels like such a dominant theme of so many of the Third Culture Kids stories that I hear. I wanted to share with you my kind of in-process wrestling match with it. Because I sit with you beautiful people day in and day out, and I invite you to engage in the growth that you want. The writing of new chapters, the rewriting of old ones. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my email application making noises. Let me shut that down. There we go. If I was clever, I'd edit that out, but I'm not. And I've often felt the unfairness of me sitting there inviting you and celebrating you into growth, the changes that you work so hard for, the changes you work so hard to even identify wanting, when I know and you know how incredibly hard it is and how uncomfortable it is to change even our most painful stories about ourselves. And I'm kind of in that space right now. I've actually had, and I need to use that word actually somehow, I've actually had, as if it needs clarifying, a really wonderful week. A week where I have listened to my body, listened to myself, and started to practice in a much deeper way than I feel I have been able to in the past, to practice rest. And it sucks. Don't get me wrong, I've been feeling the benefits of it all week, and there's some meta-awareness the adult, even parent part of myself can kind of see and feel the goodness of the rest, but it is so uncomfortable. And it triggers all of the I'm not doing enough, I am unproductive bruises that I have picked up through my story. And I'd love to kind of talk about rest in a sort of five steps to healing and wholeness kind of way. But I couldn't possibly with any kind of conviction, because there's so much about it that is uncomfortable, and I feel like I would be doing a disservice to anybody who's ever engaged in any kind of processing or change by suggesting that there's some sort of smooth road and feel good constant about it. And there just isn't. You are walking into discomfort, and that's putting it mildly. It's more like taking the bull by the horns. And the most brutal kind of self-inflicted exposure therapy. So, why is rest even a TCK issue? Well, first, rest and productivity is so culturally mediated, right? I mean, perhaps some of you will be able to resonate with this. I grew up in a country where everything stopped in the midday hours because the sun was too hot, and everybody downs tools and finds some shade, and if at all possible, sleeps. Rest is, in some contexts, not a luxury but a survival mechanism, because of the demands of the geography, actually, of the space. For others of us, rest may also be brought into our story via the via the cultures of the organizations that we were associated with in our host countries. This might be highly tied to productivity demands, particular expectations about work hours, particular narratives around what productivity looks like. As kids, this might have been simply in terms of grades. It might have been a certain expectation about a number or variety of extracurricular activities. I remember, for me, this kind of got complicated in some ways by the fact that I was homeschooled. And so my mother was also my teacher, and that added a layer to home being a site of productivity, right? My mother didn't take me to bookshops just for fun necessarily, but we would be looking for the book lists, and there would be assignments with those. And I remember that feeling great, actually. I remember a huge feeling of satisfaction ticking off how many books I've read this month, you know? And that kind of metric around measuring productivity was something I really clung on to and took into my teenage years. For me as well, there was a religious contexts which adds a kind of being a good steward with your time business. Other people in secular contexts have this too. There's a sort of, how many important books have you read? How aware are you of certain issues? How accomplished are you in certain languages? And depending on our organizational context, there may also be a certain goldfish bowl effect where everybody kind of knows everybody else's business. So whatever you are doing or not doing with your time, people know about it. I'm curious about what might be coming up for you here in terms of the cultures you have inhabited around rest and productivity. I remember finding such a contrast with my peers here in the UK in terms of how they accounted for their time, how they engaged with goals, expectations, acquisition of skill sets. Sometimes a really good question to ask ourselves is, when do I feel most unproductive? And for me, very often, that is when I'm sitting around not physically doing something. It's actually one of the reasons I struggle to sit and read, because my body seems to interpret the lack of physical activity as not doing enough. But what is it for you? And where does that come from in your TCK story? But back to the narrative bit for a minute. So I know I've done really great work around the rest piece this week because I've put down my lists. I have not written lists. Okay, I'm gonna clarify. I did at the start of the week and then I felt immediately depressed by them, so removed them again. And I decided to do this incredibly radical thing of trusting myself, of trusting that I would not forget that which needed to be done, which felt like some awful game of chicken with my brain. And trusting that I would want to do things when they needed to be done. Trusting that I had inherent motivation. And that's something that is very countercultural in terms of my upbringing, where time was very much managed for you as individuals within my family unit, but also as an organization. Like with many expat communities, work and social life were very intermingled and very much community orientated, actually. And so for me, work and play get kind of muddled up, even to this day. But in terms of the narrative, whilst I could see myself, shock horror, actually doing fun stuff, useful stuff, productive stuff, actually ticking things off my non-existent list, which was marvellously confusing, I caught myself today when I was out and about doing some shopping and somebody in one of the shops was checking in with me and asking me how I was, and my immediate response was a deep sigh and, oh, you know, okay. And she immediately looked concerned, and I caught myself internally kind of almost pulling a face at myself going, what was that? You've just implied that you're not okay. And I know why I did it. I did it because I'm not sure how I can prove I'm okay. I'm not sure how to prove I'm doing well this week because I don't have a bunch of ticks on my list. How can I lay claim to a narrative that life is good when all I've got are a series of good experiences? I mean, the ridiculousness of that phrase. And so, as I was sitting here waiting to figure out what to say to you this week, I wrote a list. A counter-narrative, if you like. A narrative to counter my instinct to second-guess and doubt my own usefulness, my own productivity. Because I am allowing myself rest, I feel unproductive. Even though the entire goal for my week was to worry less about productivity. So I'm winning, but it feels like I'm losing. And I know so many of you will get this. So many of you, when you're working with feelings and self-acceptance, you're also working with, oh, the struggle of it. You're walking into spaces you've avoided for a while, and I'm walking into trying to make peace with being less productive or measuring myself less by productivity. And I think this makes so much sense for us as TCKs because we're constantly trying to demonstrate who we are. Constantly trying to validate our claims as to who we are. And what better way of doing that but by doing? So, in the absence of feeling like I had done enough or been any particular identity, because that's the thing, isn't it? When I'm not being productive, I'm not being a certain particular facet of me enough. I'm allowing myself to sort of exist without a clear definition. If I'm not working all hours, then how can I claim I'm working? And if I'm not, oh, it's ridiculous. So, for my counter-narrative, I decided to write down the good experiences, the experiences I've existed in this week. They're not achievements as such, they're not productive as such. But they're things I decided I wanted to do and I did them. I went on walks and took photos and listened to music loudly. I ate really good food. I spent time with people I love, saying not much of anything. I introduced my daughter to Princess Bride. She is so far unimpressed, which is naturally devastating. I got fresh fruit and veg from my local market. I've picked up some gifts for friends. I made cakes, snickerdoodle and rhubarb. Not together, that would be gross. I cleaned my house, top to bottom. I've eaten hot cross buns for breakfast, twice. I finished my book club book. I'm going to get some free coaching as part of my training course. And I'm going to go dancing on a beach with a friend. I've sorted out clothes for my just about preteen, exploring with them their changing identity and how much I still have to learn about who they are. I'm feeling strangely emotional, claiming these things as having actually happened because none of these things were on my list. because I deprived myself of a list this week. And then, foolishly, I checked in with how many hours I've worked this week and panicked, deciding I hadn't done enough. Which was exactly the point. To not have an enough to try and do. If you ever get frustrated with yourself on your journey, whether it's your relationship to work and rest, or whether it's your relationship with your host or passport cultures, languages, family members, partner, children, friends, whatever it is you're working with, if at any point you feel as incoherent as I do today, or as frustrated with yourself for the 2 steps forward, 3 steps back sensation of, I'm doing the thing, oh, it's awful, I don't want to do the thing anymore. Let's not do the thing anymore. No, let's go back and do the thing. I decided to do the thing. That kind of back and forth is so utterly normal. And the biggest piece of growth that I can offer myself in this space is to simply honor how hard it is. Because I could sit here and try and measure how well I'm doing. Or I could simply notice that I am doing. I am living and loving and working and playing. And I'm remembering things now that didn't even make it onto my narrative of how I'm doing. How I'm doing is great. And that is so hard to claim if we feel like we have to measure up to other people's ideas about what doing great looks like. How could I tell the lady in the shop that I was doing great? I didn't know how to prove it. The ridiculousness of that. She doesn't need proof. She's just happy to hear I feel like I'm doing great. I feel the need to back it up with evidence. We grow up so constantly challenged to prove ourselves. It can be really, really hard to rest, see what I did there, in the knowing that we are enough. That we are doing enough. And that we don't need to bully ourselves into productivity and worth. I don't need to bully myself into doing enough of a particular identity to be allowed to claim that identity. If I look at the things that I've done this week with work, baking, shopping, the people time, the reading, the eating, most of me is showing up there. I do exist outside of lists. Resting is not the polar opposite of being productive. And the next time somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'm going to take a beat and try and check in. Because I'm allowed to say good if I'm feeling good. And so are you. Thank you for listening. I hope, if nothing else, that whether it is via this podcast or anything else you engage with today, that you are reminded both of how much you matter and how you're not alone. Thank you for listening.